now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day with a great deal of controversy about just about everything, including the end of the world. Is that what the eclipse, which is scheduled for Monday, signifies? Are you one of those apparently millions of people who are traveling some major distances and flooding places like Niagara Falls in mostly the Canadian side of Niagara Falls, apparently? Well, the area of Buffalo, who would go to Buffalo? Well, I'm sure it's beautiful in the springtime, and it's a good place to view the eclipse. Does that signify the end of the world because the eclipse is passing through in an X-shaped pattern, and I'm not sure how that works? Seven different U.S. cities named Nineveh. They've actually fact-checked this, and we will give you the result coming up. And on a much more down-to-earth basis, there's a crucial decision that may have a profound impact on the presidential race, a decision that everybody has been awaiting and that we just got today. It's a decision from the No Labels Group, which apparently had stockpiled $70 million and was planning to try to get a line on the ballot in every state. We'll tell you what's going on there. We'll also talk about the brief conversation that occurred today between President Biden and Prime Minister Netanyahu in reaction in part to the tragic death of seven aid workers from the World Central Kitchen. Of course they spoke about that, as the international community, including the U.S., is trying to make sure that nothing like that happens again, which is the whole purpose for Israel continuing this war, to make sure that nothing like October 7th happens again. Meanwhile, the CIA has warned Israel that Iran will attack the country in the next 48 hours. Israel killed two Iranian military commanders with a strike on Tehran's consulate and the Syrian capital of Damascus this week. Iran vowed that it would take revenge for the attack, and now foreign media are reporting that U.S. intelligence is fearful of an attack directly on Israel. Tehran said it is to be planning a combined attack with a rain, and that's in quotes, of drones and missiles fired from its bases at strategic locations, particularly the base of Hezbollah, which is a client of Iran in Lebanon, that there will be a rain of drones and missiles fired from its bases directly on Israel. That according to Al-Mayadeen, which is a news source in Iran. This comes after U.S. officials have publicly raised fears that the Israeli strike could lead to a wider war in the Middle East. Meanwhile, Israel has announced that it is halting military leave because of the Iran threat. The Israeli military halted all leave as threats grow from Iran following an alleged Israeli strike on the Iranian consulate in Syria this week, which killed two top generals. What does it mean when you're halting leave? In other words, how is it you get leave anyway in the middle of a war? Well, this is part of a reflection of the realities in Israel, which is all these people who are serving in the IDF, there are no IDF bases in remote locations. All the IDF bases are close to where people live in a small country. And I remember this when my nephews, my brother's children, were in the army, were doing their service, and they have been recently called up. But you get leave very often for Shabbat, for the Sabbath, because you can get home for the Sabbath and then go back to the front lines. What they're talking about is they can't even take the risk now of allowing people to come home for the Sabbath day. The IDF said Thursday in a statement that it was pausing leave for all combat units in accordance with the situational assessment. The IDF is at war and the deployment of forces is under continuous assessment according to requirements, the military said on Telegram. Iran has vowed revenge for the strike, which amounted to the most high-profile loss for Tehran since Israel began fighting against the Iranian-backed Palestinian militant group Hamas in Gaza in October. They will also be slapped for these acts, said the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei in a speech this week, according to the state-run Islamic Republic news agency. But Tehran could respond through attacks through its proxies, including Hezbollah in Lebanon, a group that has been fighting against Israeli military in northern Israel since the Gaza war broke out in October. Those attacks have largely been limited to border shelling. That northern front, which has been going on, one of my nephews, and again, these are people who are close to me, one of my brother's sons was up there on the northern front, the northern border. Meanwhile, the Jerusalem Post is reporting the United States says that it will change its policy toward Gaza unless Israel takes immediate steps to better protect Palestinian civilians there. President Biden warned Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu during a terse brief call today that with regard to our policy in the Gaza Strip, if we don't see the changes that we need to see, there will be changes in policy. That's what U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken told reporters in Belgium as he discussed the conversation between Netanyahu and Biden. They spoke as the international community, including the U.S., continued to condemn the IDF airstrike on Monday that killed seven aid workers from the World Central Kitchen, including one American citizen. And of course, this takes attention away from the five American citizens who are currently being held as hostages by the Hamas. And the lack of any pressure to simply release those hostages, to gain a ceasefire, and then to let the emergency supplies come in, it makes no sense. None of it makes sense. Minutes ago, something that did make sense announced by ABC News, no labels will not repeat, not run a third party, quote, unity ticket against Donald Trump and Joe Biden in the 2024 presidential election, the group said Thursday, today. In a statement, the centrist group said they were unable to find a candidate who had a credible path to winning, so the responsible course of action is for us to stand down. Amen to that! We will remain engaged over the next year during what is likely to be the most divisive presidential election of our lifetimes. The group said, we will promote dialogue around major policy challenges and call out both sides when they speak and act in bad faith. We are going to be speaking about the ongoing crises that are facing the world. And no, that does not have to do with the eclipse. We're going to be doing that with Max Boot, syndicated columnist, author, on some of the past smaller wars of the United States. He's going to be talking about Israel and the Ukraine and the USA and our future. Max Boot coming up and more on the violent January 6th rioters. Are they really hostages? We will get to that coming up on The Medved Show.
Entertain your brain every day on The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there is a new statement by the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, who is speaking at a NATO summit. There's also big news about the NATO summit, because Secretary Blinken, for the first time, I believe, said openly that it is a goal of the United States to have Ukraine join NATO. That, of course, is one of the excuses that was provided by Vladimir Putin for invading Ukraine. And now Secretary Blinken is saying at the NATO summit that Ukraine will become a member of NATO, of joining the alliance, and our purpose at this summit is to help build a bridge to that membership. There was some applause to that from Dmytro Kuleba, who is the foreign minister of Ukraine, who was invited to the NATO summit, even though they are not members of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Secretary of State Blinken spoke about the phone call, which was the first call in several weeks between Prime Minister Netanyahu and the President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden. Here is what Secretary Blinken had to say, clip 10.
President Biden spoke a short while ago with Prime Minister Netanyahu. The leaders discussed the situation in Gaza. The president emphasized that the strikes on humanitarian workers and the overall humanitarian situation are unacceptable. He made clear the need for Israel to announce a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers. He made clear that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps. He underscored as well that an immediate ceasefire is essential to stabilize and improve the humanitarian situation and protect innocent civilians, and he urged Prime Minister Netanyahu to empower his negotiators to conclude a deal without delay to bring the hostages home.
Okay, again, to conclude a deal to bring the hostages home, what is it that Israel is supposed to give up in that deal to reward the monumental wrong and barbaric killing and the seizure of the hostages who have now been held for more than 6 months? There's still 134 of them. I mentioned also that Secretary Blinken was very direct about Ukraine and said this. This is clip 7 at the NATO summit.
Support for Ukraine, the determination of every country represented here at NATO remains rock solid. We will do everything that we can, allies will do everything that they can, to ensure that Ukraine has what it needs to continue to deal with Russia's ongoing aggression against Ukraine, an aggression that gets worse with every passing day. Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Our purpose at the summit is to help build a bridge to that membership and to create a clear pathway for Ukraine moving forward.
Of course, we believe that Ukraine deserves to be a member of NATO and that this should happen sooner rather than later.
That, of course, was Kulebra, who is the foreign minister of Ukraine. And John Bolton, a great friend of the show, former ambassador to the United Nations, had an excellent statement, one of the best and most important and relevant statements by any leader in the foreign policy national security field. He was a former national security advisor to President Trump. John Bolton said the loss of 7 humanitarian aid workers' lives is without question a great tragedy. The fact is, however, that Gaza's misery is directly attributable to Hamas. Its government, both for the October 7th attack and for Hamas cynically using its fellow Gazans as human shields. I am saddened by this attack. But the outrage today should be directed against those morally responsible for Gaza's crisis, Hamas, and its puppet masters in Tehran. this is all important. And one of the concerns about President Biden focusing so directly on the unintentional, mistaken, tragic, regrettable death of seven aid workers ignores the real danger and the press reports of an imminent Iranian attack on Israel itself. And an attack, by the way, that could conceivably do much more in terms of bloodletting than killing seven aid workers. And the need for America and Israel to coordinate a response, not to Hamas, which is on its last legs, thank God, but to Iran itself, that is a tremendous priority. We'll be speaking about that with Max Boot coming up. Meanwhile, here in the United States, there was a great deal of development on the presidential front as well, of course. An Atlanta area judge today upheld the criminal indictment. That's an indictment. It's not a conviction. It's an indictment means you're accused. He upheld the criminal indictment against former President Donald Trump in Georgia, rejecting the argument that Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election were protected under the First Amendment. The defense has not presented, nor is the court able to find any authority, that the speech and conduct alleged is protected political speech. So wrote Fulton County Superior Judge Scott McAfee in his court order. McAfee's ruling is the latest step that is inching the state racketeering case against Trump and more than a dozen of his associates, urging that forward in Fulton County. But while the Fulton County District Attorney Fawny Willis has suggested she would be ready to go to trial as soon as August, the judge has still not set a trial date for Trump or his remaining 14 co-defendants in the Peach State. Meanwhile, Trump is beginning with the hush money case in New York, which is coming on April 15th. And he is, I believe, required to be in that courtroom for much of the time. What will the impact be on the campaign? We'll be considering that and the very profound impact of one third party threat now being eliminated with no candidate from no labels. We'll be speaking with Max Boot, syndicated columnist with the Washington Post, coming up on the Medved Show.
Can I just say that you do more for radio than what high definition will ever do for television?
This is the Michael Medved Show. More of Michael Medved in a moment.
And on the Michael Medved Show, honored to welcome back to the show Max Boot, who is a profoundly influential syndicated columnist through the Washington Post. He has been a Pulitzer Prize finalist for biography, the author of New York Times bestsellers. His new book is called Reagan, His Life and Legend. That's coming out in September of this year. Maybe in terms of inspiring us a little bit with the November election between Biden and Trump coming up. Max, this has been a very eventful day. First, your reaction to reports of the apparently terse and not particularly agreeable phone conversation between Benjamin Netanyahu and Joe Biden. What does this mean for Israel's ability to finish this war and to clean out those remaining four Hamas battalions in Rafah?
Well, thanks for having me on, Michael. It's a pleasure to be back. It's hard to know what the fallout is going to be because President Biden and Prime Minister Netanyahu have been at loggerheads for a while, but it's been primarily in the area of rhetorical disagreement, because even as Israel has been taking actions that the administration criticizes, the administration has continued to provide munitions, bombs, and even F-15s and others, other kinds of weapon systems to Israel. So I think, you know, the issue now is whether President Biden is going to condition aid to Israel on improvements in the humanitarian situation in Gaza, which has really come to a head since the killing of those aid workers from the World Central Kitchen in an Israeli airstrike, which certainly was a terrible mistake and one that suggested lack of enough care being taken in the expenditure of munitions in Gaza. And it does feel like U.S.-Israeli relations are becoming very strained. And I think, frankly, I blame most of that on Netanyahu, because Biden is a very pro-Israel president, reflexively so. And he's, you know, despite the heat he's taken from a lot of grassroots folks in his own party, his instincts are all pro-Israel. But Netanyahu is acting in a very high-handed way towards Biden and basically, you know, trying to keep his political coalition together at the cost of straining the Israeli U.S. alliance. And I think that's a dangerous game to play.
Well, there's actually, when you talk about the divisions in the president's own party, there was just a tweet by Senator John Fetterman, the Democratic senator, one of the two Democratic senators from Pennsylvania. But he sent out this message, and I wanted to get your reaction to that. He said, in this war against Hamas, no conditions for Israel. It's sort of surprising, isn't it, to see John Fetterman being such an outspoken and enthusiastic supporter of the Israeli cause, especially at a time like this with the prospect of war with Iran hanging just over the horizon. What would be your response to Senator Fetterman?
Well, Senator Fetterman has been very outspoken for Israel, but he is at odds with, I think, a growing portion of his party. And, you know, President Biden has also been very supportive of Israel. But again, it's tough to be unreservedly supportive of Israel during their campaign when so many civilians are being killed. And even, you know, aid workers, when various international organizations are warning that there is danger of a famine in the Gaza Strip. I mean, I think that, you know, the U.S. position, the Biden administration position, is basically the right one, which is that they support Israel's right to self-defense. They recognize that Israel has every right to go out and try to destroy Hamas and to defend itself after the horrific attack of October 7th. But Israel also, you know, needs to take greater care to avert civilian suffering in the Gaza Strip. Otherwise, the likely consequence of this operation is going to be simply to create another generation of violent extremists, and Israel will be fighting until the end of time.
Well, God forbid on that. You have a new column that says only a leader like Sadat, meaning Anwar Sadat, the assassinated, unfortunately, president of Egypt and Nobel Peace Prize winner, I believe, only a leader like Sadat can end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. What that talks about is something that Chuck Schumer talked about, which was the need for new elections in Israel. And with what you're talking about Netanyahu becoming a real problem in terms of relations with the United States, there were just near riots outside the prime minister's residence in Jerusalem because of the very enthusiastic and energetic demonstrations against him, calling for new elections and calling for a change of government in Israel. How likely do you believe that is before the conclusion of this war?
Well, it's hard to judge what's going to happen in Israeli politics. And I think that, you know, Netanyahu, as a leading Israeli journalist just wrote, Netanyahu is not only the longest serving prime minister in Israel's history, but also the worst prime minister now, because he allowed the worst attack on Israel to occur during his watch. But nevertheless, even though he is, I think, a failed leader, he has been a master at manipulating Israeli politics. So it's not clear that he's going to go anywhere. But I think it's disgraceful that Netanyahu is still in office all these many months after October 7. It's as if, you know, after the fall of France, as if Neville Chamberlain were still the prime minister of Great Britain. I think they need clearly a change of leadership. And Netanyahu needs to go. And I think at the moment, though, he's continuing to cling to power, and he's doing whatever he needs to keep his right-wing coalition together. And so, you know, as long as they stay together, they're going to have the votes in the Knesset to prevent early elections. But I do think it is important for somebody new to emerge, because right now, if you look at the public opinion polls, something like 10 or 20% of Israelis support Netanyahu. He just does not have the kind of wide-ranging support that a wartime leader needs.
Speaking of wide-ranging support, there is support from the American public for aid to Ukraine. Now Speaker Mike Johnson just postponed a vote on Ukraine aid again. Do you believe it's important that we move quickly to enable and to prioritize that aid?
It's imperative. I mean, every day that we delay, more Ukrainian lives are needlessly lost. And, you know, Ukraine is desperately trying to get ready to prevent a Russian offensive this summer from breaking through. But Russia could very well break through, because Ukraine does not have enough ammunition, especially doesn't have enough artillery shells to defend itself. So it's unconscionable that we continue to withhold aid. And, you know, I don't know what Speaker Mike Johnson is up to. It feels like a bit of a bait and switch, because he keeps saying that he's sympathetic to Ukraine aid. But even though the Ukraine aid bill got 70 votes in the Senate, he still refuses to bring it to the floor of the House. He's dithering and delaying. And all the and while he's doing all these things in Washington, meanwhile, in Ukraine, people are dying and Ukrainians are desperate to defend themselves. This is it's disgraceful. The aid needs to pass right now.
Amen to that. Max Boot, we look forward to your new book on President Reagan. Certainly President Reagan would have a better sense of what to do. We will be right back with a leading Republican taking... And on the Michael Medved Show, with everything else going on in this wide world, important to stay up to date with not just the immediate questions on the table, but the background, the context, the perspective. And that's why I'm so pleased that we have this amazing sale going on with an amazing response, I'm pleased to say. From the Medved History Store. You can get the entire Medved History Library, which involves a wide range of special programming, of course, without commercials. The background of the early settlement of the United States, evidence of divine providence in American history, or at least what was considered divine providence by people who participated in events, the whole history of the American Revolution and what it was that the colonists were actually fighting for and what they were fighting against, that and much, much more, plus indications of our very best and very worst presidents of the United States, and by what standards should presidents be judged. All of this available, the entire thing, 85% off. it becomes a remarkable bargain. But it's available to you if you go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. Use the code word MEDHEAD. You are paying just 15% of what the normal cost would be for several hundred hours of inspiration and education and entertainment. Check it out at MichaelMedvedHistoryStore.com or MichaelMedved.com, and I hope you take advantage of this price while it lasts. Meanwhile, concerning what we were just talking about with Max Boot of the Washington Post, reports now in The Hill and elsewhere that Senator Elizabeth Warren said that she will move to block the sale of F-15s to Israel because of the seven aid workers who were killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza earlier this week. It does seem that the response to clearly what was an accident and was not intentional is bizarre and particularly intense, especially when you consider, and this was a point that was made by Michael Rubin of American Enterprise Institute, who was with us yesterday. We ourselves in the United States have had terrible accidents. There was a time when we accidentally shot down an Iranian airliner, if you recall, with more than 100 innocent people killed who are just riding on an airplane. We also, during before the withdrawal from Afghanistan, and remember, in the Afghanistani withdrawal, it was not only 13 American servicemen, but 100 or more Afghans who were killed in that bombing. Now, you can't blame the United States for that, except that the whole withdrawal from Afghanistan was so incredibly bungled, badly handled. But during the time we were in Afghanistan, we erroneously bombed a wedding, and with over 10 people killed. On CNN this morning, do we have that on audio? This is Elizabeth Warren, who obviously is seeing some political benefit, because that's what she's about. Seeing some political benefit in blasting Israel. Here is her accusation against Prime Minister Netanyahu.
We cannot continue down a path where Prime Minister Netanyahu's policy is to try to starve hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, women and children in Gaza, as his way to advance his own personal interests. What we've got to do is we've got to get a ceasefire in place. We've got to get those hostages back. We have got to get humanitarian relief into Gaza, and we need to do it now. Every day is crucial at this moment.
Okay, look, the idea of getting the hostages back and having a ceasefire, who was it who turned down the ceasefire? It was Hamas, because they refuse to give up the hostages. It may be that many of those hostages are no longer alive. But the idea that this is all being based upon some kind of Israeli whim or some diabolical, monstrous desire to starve hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, clearly the Israelis have actually risked lives to allow some of these convoys to come in to Gaza to help to feed people. And the notion that this should actually be a occasion for some kind of deep split between the United States and Israel, and what? Because you think that Hamas is going to be a more attentive to American demands than the government of Israel? Meanwhile, speaking of demands and splits and some unexpected and maybe needless concerns, there was a declaration by Karl Rove. Karl Rove, of course, was the main strategist for President George W. Bush, who won the presidency twice for the Republican Party. The last Republican since 1988, that's a long time ago, to actually win a majority of the popular vote was George W. Bush when he ran for re-election in 2004, and Karl Rove was his mastermind. But Rove offered President Joe Biden and Democrats some unsolicited advice on defeating Trump because he was so angry with Trump. Rove is a Republican, still is. And Trump has said that one of his first acts as president would be to free the hostages. No, not the hostages in Gaza, what Trump calls the hostages of January 6th. Here was what Karl Rove said about that. He was at a forum in California with MSNBC's Ari Melber. Listen.
If they were smart, they'd take the January 6th and go hard at it. And they would say, he wants to pardon these people who attacked our Capitol. I worked in that building as a young man. To me, the Congress of the United States is one of the great examples of the strength of our democracy and a jewel of the Constitution. And what those people did when they violently attacked the Capitol in order to stop a constitutionally mandated meeting of the Congress to accept the results of the Electoral College is a stain on our history. And every one of those sons of who did that, we ought to find them, try them, and send them to jail. And one of the critical mistakes made in this campaign is that Donald Trump has now said, I'm going to pardon those people because they're hostages. No, they're not. They're thugs. There were people, some of them had automatic weapons at a hotel in Virginia hoping to be able to be called up. We had people saying, where's Nancy Pelosi? We had people who were, you know, taking desks and sitting at the desk of the Speaker of the House and attempting to, you know, find people in order to bring them to justice and saying to the, to yelling at the police, kill them all.
Okay, Karl Rove is talking about a monumental mistake here for President Trump. And how monumental? We're going to be speaking coming up to an author of a new book that actually profiles some of those some of those criminals who have been imprisoned over 900 of them who have either pleaded guilty or have been convicted. And convicted of horrible crimes involving serious injury to our police officers and to others. I mean, isn't it somewhat extraordinary that these people should be viewed as heroes and martyrs and hostages? Hostages by whom? We will get to more on that. We will also be speaking about some of the solar eclipse conspiracy theories that also predict that the eclipse Monday signifies the end times. Does it really? We will get to that and much more. Why do people perceive the economy is so bad? Well, after a tough day at Wall Street, maybe it really is in this greatest nation on God's green earth.